Mac is doing such a great job with children's messages. I love that truth. God's love endures forever. And this morning we are in the fourth Sunday of Advent. And we're talking about love. And I was talking with someone this last week about how difficult it is for me every time I come to the subject of God's love, because God's love is so deep, is it not? And it's so hard to, like, talk about God's love in just, 30-minute sermon. But we're gonna talk about God's love this morning. You know, I was thinking about how this season we see Christmas all around us. We see it on TV. What's your favorite Christmas movie? Just shout it out right now. I heard Home Alone, and mine is It's a Wonderful Life. I love that movie. But we see it on TV. We see it in our stores. We see it in our homes. You decorate for Christmas in your homes. And so we see it. We see it all. We see it all over. We see it in the church as we oftentimes have nativity scenes and Christmas pageants and things like that. We see Christmas all around us. But what I want to talk about this morning is, what is the point of it all? What's really the point of Christmas? So just to kind of recap, these last several weeks, the first Sunday, as Max said, we looked at hope. We looked at how God is the sustainer of our hope. He's the supplier of hope. He's the source of hope. The second week, we looked at peace and how God makes peace with our past and brings peace in our present. And he brings peace to our future as we embrace him as our Lord and Savior. And then we looked at joy last Sunday and how joy is God. God is joy, and how joy breaks into our darkness and gives us joy. We looked at an example in Scripture about that. But this Sunday, now, right here in this moment, what's Christmas all about? Why Christmas? And if I could just sum it up maybe in just 5 words, I would say it's all for love. It's all for love. Christ comes all for love. I once heard a story, actually this last week I heard a story about two men. One man was suffering from alcoholism, and he happened to be in a bar with a good friend, and they were in this bar. I know they walked into the bar. I know that sounds like a joke, but it's not. But they're in this bar together, and one of the friends says, Hey, Zach, I really need to talk to you about your drinking problem. I really need to talk to you about this. And so he said, bartender, I want you to pour one glass of water, and I want you to pour another glass of whiskey. And so the bartender does that, and the friend then reaches into his pocket, and he grabs out a pouch of worms. And he puts one worm in the glass of water, and he puts the other worm in the whiskey. The one in the water began to swim around, and the one in the whiskey began to swim around for just a short time, and then it died. So he says to his friend Zach, he said, do you see what just happened? He said, yeah, I've seen what just happened. No, do you get the point of what happened? Yeah, I saw. So he says, no, Zach, I really want to make sure you have understood the point of what I'm trying to tell you. So why don't you explain to me the point of what I'm trying to tell you? And he said, well, I guess the more whiskey I drink, the less worms we have in this world. You know, this morning I want to talk about why Christmas and the whole point of Christmas. Because if we miss Christmas, we miss the whole point of what Christmas is all about. And I want to point us to a scripture this morning. It's kind of like the main scripture this morning. We're going to be looking at some other scriptures, but I want us to look at this. Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 23. Matthew 1, 18 through 23. And it reads like this. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, She was still a virgin. She became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill what the Lord's message, fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Verse 23, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Friends, in that day, things were very, very difficult. In the day of Mary and Joseph, I mean, taxes were high. The Roman government was oppressing people. Not only that, but King Herod was killing babies because of a prophecy. It was really difficult. There was a lot of pain. There was a lot of tears. There was a lot of grief during that time. And it reminds me of the day that we're living in. People needed hope then. People needed saving. People needed peace then, just like we need it here. So what is the whole point of Christmas? I mean, if we can just kind of strip the light, strip everything down, what is the whole point? I feel like the point of Christmas is right here in verse 21, right here in Matthew. You might want to underline this, but this is the point right here. It says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." That is the point of Christmas, friends. I feel like we could probably just say amen and end right there. The point of Christmas is that God becomes man. This is astounding, friends. He becomes man, and he comes down to earth to save people from their sins, to save us. That is the purpose. That's why we gather every single year. And some of this is a reminder, but I want us to not only just kind of remember this and be reminded of this, but really engage in this story. Because we were all sinners. And Jesus came to save us. And that is the reason, that is the point of Christmas. What does it mean? Let's talk about this. What does this mean that God came to save people from their sins? We know in Scripture and we know about God that God is holy, God is perfect, God is sinless. But you and I, we're imperfect. How many perfect people do we have here? Yeah, no one. No, just so those of you watching online, no one raised their hand either here. No one is perfect. We all miss the mark. We miss the mark. That's why Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God." And so the Bible talks about, Scripture talks about, the only way to heaven is with a relationship with Jesus Christ, who is holy. And if God is holy and we're imperfect, then guess what? What is that phrase? We're up a creek without a paddle. We have a dilemma. We have a dilemma. The fact is that our jealousy and greed and selfishness and our lust, our evilness, they tend to they don't draw us to God. They tend to separate us from God. So, does God leave us to his own devices? I mean, here's where the love part comes in. God does not leave us to our own devices. God, in this season, brought an intervention. And that's what we celebrate today. God sent his son. I love the fact that in John 3:16, the verse that Mac quoted, is that we have this God, friends, who's a giver. He was the one who gave the very first gift. As you give gifts to one another this week, remember that God gave you a gift. John 3:16, some of the most profound words. For God so loved the world that he gave. Now, we often stop at John 3:16, but verse 17 says, God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Now, I said that God is, if God is holy and we're not, then we're in trouble, aren't we? Let me give you this illustration. In October, I did a really stupid thing. Many of you know this. I walked from Tenasket to Republic. I don't highly recommend it. But I did it. I love walking and love running, and I know that's kind of excessive, but I did it. And now, suppose I said to you, hey, friends, you want to go on a walk with me? Many of you would say no right away. But maybe there would be some who would say, yeah, I want to go with you. And what if I said, hey, we're walking to France. Now, some of you would shake your head and say, what are you thinking here? And maybe some of you would walk with me a little ways, but you know, we wouldn't get very far, would we? Because that sooner or later we would reach a spot where we couldn't cross this big gap called what? The ocean. And we would need some help getting across the ocean. And that's exactly what God did for us, friends. This good news, this is what Christmas is all about. God sending his son to save the world, to close that gap for us. That is love. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That means, friends, that God acted out of his love. God acted out of his love to make it possible to remove this separation from God, sin. God closed that gap by placing all the sin on his son. And I know many of you have heard this story again, but this is the point of Christmas, and let us not miss it. This baby Jesus grew and became this man who then displayed his love. He taught the word truthfully. He healed the sick. He healed the blind. He stood up for the oppressed. He advocated for the poor. He took on your sin and my sin. That is the point of Christmas. That is the love of God. Here's the thing, friends. The love of God does not just stop there at the cross. The love of God pours out into our lives. God so lavishly pours out his love on all of us. I'm reminded of this scripture in the book of Lamentations as we've been, you know, reading through the word of God. Lamentations says, his mercies are new every morning. That is the love of God that is poured out into our lives every single day. That is the point of Christmas. The second point of Christmas is that he redeems our lives and he transforms our lives as we say yes to Jesus. I'll never forget when I was a youth pastor in the city of Tacoma, there was a young man that was coming to our youth ministry in my group, and he was in a gang, and oftentimes he found himself in juvenile hall. And I would go to court with him. I would be his advocate, and I would just show him extreme love. And I'll never forget the words he said to me one time. He says, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Why are you showing up to court? I've never had anyone love me and show me this kind of love. It's the love of our Heavenly Father, friends. And this love, as I began to pour this love of the Father into him, his life began to change. But here's the thing. When a child grows up without knowing the love of a father, he begins to develop behaviors and expressions that lead to nowhere good. And this was this boy's life. When we grow up without the love of a father, then we begin to develop fears. We begin to just kind of live in the dark and isolate ourselves. We begin to trust in other things and other people. When we grow up without the love of a father, knowing the love of a father, we begin to have some impulsive behaviors. Like the story that I opened up this morning about this alcoholic. We become unstable people. But when you know the love of the Father, friends, it changes everything in your life. Just yesterday, I was talking with a man. And I'm sorry if I get a little bit emotional about this. My friend is probably watching online right now, and if you're watching, I love you. This man reached out to me. I met him probably over a year ago. He just needed some help. And he was thinking about hurting himself. Here's the thing, friends. When you finally just say, God, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. The love of God is poured out into your heart in a way that transforms your life that I can't even fully describe. But it changes everything about you. A burden is lifted. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. And I praise the Lord for God's love being poured out. Romans 5:8 says, while we were still yet sinners, this is the point of Christmas, Christ died for us. And he transforms our life. You see, when we know the love of the Father, such as this man who now knows the love of his Father, he's now secure in that. Romans 8:39 says, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I often think and say to God, when I was many times through this season of challenge and difficulty, I call out to God and say, God, I'm in deep trouble, as the psalmist said. Would you bend down and listen to me and help me? And friends, he does. He does. And nothing can separate you from his love. You see, when we experience the love of God, we experience this power and strength of God. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You see, when we experience the love of God being poured out to his hearts, we know that we can stand up against any temptation that comes our way as we accept that love. Joshua 1:5-6, we're told where God said to Joshua, he said, be strong and courageous. And he also added, and I will be with you. And when we understand the love of the Father, we understand that he is with us. And as I said, we can stand up against anything that comes our way. We can stand up against temptation. We may be going through darkness in our lives. Right? Like a scripture I mentioned last week, Paul and Silas were in prison, but yet they were singing. Because we've experienced this transformational love of the Father. Friends, John 10:10 says, the thief comes to kill and to steal and destroy. But the love of the Father says, but I have come so that you would have life abundantly. I know that many of us have heard this message, but don't tune out to this, because this is the point of Christmas. Now, I don't want us just to kind of remember this and be reminded of this, of this truth. I want us to engage in this and apply this love to our lives right now. I mean, for some of us this morning, maybe it's for the first time saying, yes, I need this transformational love of the Father. I need this in my life. I've got all these hurts, these habits, these hang-ups, and they're wreaking havoc in my life. And I need this love poured out on me. And if that's you this morning, you just got to say, Jesus, I need you. He promises to come and to forgive and to be with you. You know, as I began to think about what else is the point of Christmas, it's, of course, that Jesus would save his people from his sins. It's that he would pour out, he would redeem and transform and pour out his love. But it's also, friends, the reality is for us who do believe, for us to be bridge builders, what I'm calling being bridge builders. Friends, I was thinking about 2020, as you all have. And I wondered if 2020 will be remembered as a time where we reached out with radical love. The same love that has been poured into our hearts by Jesus. Will it be remembered for that time where the church and Christians reached out with radical love and built bridges with people? Or will it be remembered for a very divisive time? What about 2021? Because we can't do anything about the past. But we can do something about the future with the Lord being our helper. Maybe remembered 2021 where the church and Christians showed a radical type of love in extreme ways that didn't divide people but brought people together and closer to Jesus. You know, I want us to remember this truth that Jesus came not in a time of peace, remember? Taxes were high. The government was oppressing people. Yet Jesus has some instructions for us on how to live during that time. In Ephesians 2:14, it says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." Paul's talking about Jews and Gentiles, these two groups that didn't get along. And he says when Jesus came, he tore down this wall that was dividing them and saying, no, Jews and Gentiles, they're equal. They're people. And he tore down that dividing wall. Today, friends, there's so much division among even the church. Among Christians, there's so much division in our world. And if there's ever a time where Christians need to be bridge builders to extend peace and love and to be people about reconciliation, it is now. And that is the point of Christmas, where God in the flesh comes down, pours out his love into our hearts so that we can be the light of the world. Did you know that Jesus called you the light of the world? He did. And I want to encourage us to be bridge builders. You know, the time that Jesus was living in, as I said, it was a difficult time. But that's why Jesus' teaching was so radical. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 5:5, the Beatitudes, he said, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you to live in a different way." He says to love your enemies and to pray for those who persecute you. That is the kingdom way in a divided time such as this. That is the point of Christmas. Jesus not only came to, you know, to bring people together, but he did it in a such a radical way. He befriended tax collectors, the most hated people, and he even invited one to be one of his 12 disciples. He went across cultural lines, and he talked to a Samaritan woman at the well, who Jews and Samaritans didn't get along. They didn't talk to each other. And he was willing to go across a cultural barrier to be a bridge builder. Not only that, as I said, the Roman government was very oppressive to people. And by law, the Roman government could say, hey, look, a Roman soldier could do this. Rather, they could say, hey, look, I need you to carry my pack, my gear, right now. And by law, you would have to carry it for 1 mile, and that gear was very heavy, over 100 pounds. And Jesus said, you know, if a Roman soldier tells you to do that, don't just go 1 mile. Be super generous and go 2 miles. You know, one of the most powerful stories of God breaking these cultural barriers and breaking what was normal is a very well-known parable that he told that many of you know. It's called the Good Samaritan, right? I'm not going to go into great detail or expound on that, but it's this guy that was in this ditch, it beat up alongside of the road. Some super holy people, religious people, couple priests, they walk by and they leave him in this ditch. But a Samaritan approaches a Jew. They hated each other. They hated each other. Samaritans had intermarried with Jews, and Samaritans had their own place of worship, and Jews had their own place of worship. I mean, the relationship between the two was horrible. Yet Jesus uses that illustration, that story, to get a point across. This is the kind of love we are to show to a person that we might even hate. 1 John 4 says this. He says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in his love. I read an illustration about two farmers this last week, and they had been feuding over a cat, of all things. One cat was found on this farmer's property, and he claimed it as his own. And the other farmer said, no, this is my cat. And so that's how the feud started. And so one day, one of the farmers said, that's it. I'm done with this guy. I'm going to make this division here among our properties. I don't want to see this other guy ever again. And so he reroutes this spring, and it divides their property. Well, as you can imagine, the other farmer said, oh, my goodness, look what this guy has done. And so one day there's a knock at his door, and it's a carpenter. And the carpenter says, hey, do you have any work for me? And the farmer says, well, no, not really. Well, yes, I do. He says, I want you to go down there. You see where my neighbor here has rerouted this spring and divided our properties. I don't want to ever see him again. I want you to build the biggest fence possible. And so the carpenter is like, all right. And so the farmer goes in town. He has to get some lumber. He shows the carpenter inside his barn and says, you can get, you know, right to work with the material I have left. And when the guy comes back home, he doesn't see a fence. He sees a bridge. And he walks down to the bridge, and he sees the other farmer coming across the bridge, and he meets him on the bridge. And the one farmer who claimed it, you know, as his cat originally said, I thought you'd never want to see my face again. And they shook hands, and that one farmer said, I knew it was your cat. You know, he thought all along the other guy had built that bridge. And there was reconciliation that took place that day. And that's exactly what God has done for us. He has built this bridge. That is the point of Christmas, friends. What does it look like in your family this Christmas to be a bridge builder? What does it look like perhaps with a friend? What does it look like for you this Christmas with maybe even literally a neighbor next door to be a bridge builder, where your love that Christ has poured into you can be extended towards them? Because that is the point of Christmas. Heaven coming down to earth, transforming your life, pouring love into your heart, you being the light of the world to someone else. So how will you respond to Christ's love this Christmas? Lord God, I thank you so much God, I just thank you so much for you coming down, God, and saving us from sins. God, you taking the place on the cross. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you that we can remember and celebrate that. But Lord, I pray in this season that we not only be reminded of that and just celebrate that only, we would go a step further. And we would build a bridge. God, we would understand how much great of love that you saved us with and poured into our hearts, that we would do the same. And God, I thank you for you doing that in people's lives, even today and right now. God, people are surrendering their lives to you right now. And you're pouring your love into their heart. And you're making them new. God, we love you, and we give you all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to sing one more song, and...